downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Baptist Church, it's awesome because primarily because I have nothing to do with the music and I don't know very much how to play but chopsticks. Actually, my father-in-law taught me how to play chopsticks, so that's all I know how to play. But the music is always fantastic here, and I love the energy at Liberty Baptist Church because whether it's fellowship time, people are just involved. And I don't know if you've been to some churches where it's just like, oh, that's my row. That's not how it is here. And people love each other. If it is your row, it's like, hey, that's my row. Hey, we'll sit here with me. And I love the energy that's here. I brought this just in case. Actually, I have this for an illustration, so I'll use this in a little bit. But tonight, I get to talk about a subject that is something that I've kind of been plodding through the past probably few months. I've been thinking about it. Anybody have any ideas what it's regarding? Faith. Yes, that's it. Who said that? Good. Mrs. Olson. Good job. Way to go. That's why. I was wondering what it is. Faith. We're going to talk about faith tonight. If you get your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're going to be at tonight. As a kid growing up, I don't know if this ever happened to you, but as a kid growing up, many times I was the brunt of people's jokes. And as an adult, many times not much has changed. I'm the brunt of people's jokes, but things have changed a little bit. And things have changed a little bit. Whenever I was probably in the third or fourth grade, there was a question. I'm gonna test it on you to see if this works. I was asked about two different questions. And many times over the course of asking these questions, many times I would fall for this question many times. The first question was this. They would come up to me and they would say, hey, Neil, is that your dog? Now, be honest, how many of you looked? Don't raise your hand. Just kidding. I was asked that. The horrible thing, I didn't even have a dog. And I was like, where? And somebody did it again. And the same thing happened. Another question that was asked to me was this. They said, hey, Neil, if there was a fire in the building, would you pull that string up there? I'm like, oh, you got me again. And many times people said that I was just gullible. And maybe you have a story about how that my dad had a story of when he used to work at Sears Roebuck before it's the warehouse closed. But he was sent on a mission to find a shadow stretcher. Maybe you have a similar story of you were maybe on the job. You were told to get something and you were searching for this mysterious thing that really didn't exist. And tonight we're going to be talking about faithing forward, and kind of a play on words. But many times as we think about our faith with the Lord Jesus Christ, many times what we think about is just that of being gullible. And we think, oh, yeah, God, I'm just going to do this. I mean, the Bible says whenever you get saved, you have to come to Christ as a little what? Child. Isn't that interesting? That you have to come to faith as a little child. Now, God never forces us. He never makes us. He never shoves his way upon us. But the fact is, God wants in our life for us to have faith in him. In fact, as God has this towards us, tonight I want to look at just a few things of what God wants for you in your life. As you faith forward, there's three specific things. God, or through faith, I understand that there's a reward or there's a blessing. I understand that there's procedures that happen because of my faith. But then there's the third thing that happens, and that's my decisions. Before we go any further, let's pray and ask God to speak to us this evening. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. God, I pray that tonight, that through your word, you'll help us to realize the importance, the decisions that we face by faith. Lord, I pray that you would help us to determine what we should do in our life. God, as Satan wants to confuse us, Lord, we realize that you're not the author of confusion. In fact, the Bible says, God, that you've not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And God, I pray that through your word tonight, this would be completely evident. Help us to see what it means to trust you by faith. I ask this according to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the definition of faith simply means believing God at what he says and trusting him and doing what he says. That's what it means by faith. Let's look at the Bible in Hebrews 11. If you're there, say, I got it. Good job. Hebrews 11, the Bible says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Verse 2. As we skip down to verse 3, the Bible says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now that's a lot of what does that mean? I want to break it down for you tonight. Very simple. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You see, whenever you have faith, faith and hope go together. Now, as those two things go together, those two things are linked up together. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith by general, we see that faith is the persuasion of the mind to believe that something is true. Now, let me give you an everyday instance. Every day, many times we think that our faith in God, have you ever thought, man, to be able to have faith in God is that's pretty serious. But really, we have faith all the time. I mean, we get in our car. I mean, think about this. You stick a key in the ignition, you turn it on. You don't go to your car and say, man, I hope it starts today. Well, at least many of us don't do that. And you stick it in the ignition and you start it. But by faith, what you do is you come to a red light. And as you come to that red light, it turns green. By faith, what you do is you go through that intersection. Now, many times we've gone through that intersection and by faith someone has collided with us. Let me give you a really good one. Many of us have done this in the past week. You have had really strong faith. I'm telling you, your strength, your faith is so strong. I mean, maybe you left church on Easter and you went over right where the area is in Best Buy and you drove up and through Best Buy and there's a restaurant right there. It's called McDonald's. Yeah, you gave them the order. And you went around and you placed the order and you gave them the money and you got the food. You didn't inspect the food. You didn't be like, oh, what did they put in here? Oh, no, they didn't. You didn't inspect your food. You know why? Because you have faith. And so we have faith every day. But many times what happened is when our faith goes off of our everyday and onto God, many times it's like, oh, I don't know if I could do this. Well, faith is something, it's just a result. We understand that faith is simply a result of teaching. The Bible says in Romans, chapter 10, faith, the Bible says, if you take your Bibles, hold your finger here and turn over to Romans chapter 10 real quick. In Romans chapter 10, I want to give you the definition. I give you the definition of faith so that we can pick up here what the purpose of faith is. So in Romans chapter 10, the Bible says in verse 13, a famous verse, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then the Bible says, how shall they call on him? Verse 14, in whom they have not believed. And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Then the Bible says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings to good things. If you skip down to verse 17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the way that someone receives Christ is they first of all have to be taught. Faith comes from teaching. And teaching, the Bible says, then I receive my faith. So as we understand this, I want to kind of show this. Matthew Henry actually says it about Hebrews chapter 11. He says, it is the evidence of things not seen. Faith demonstrates to the eye, to the eye of the mind, the reality of those things which cannot be discerned by the eye of the body. So, for instance, in this passage, Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, now faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtain a good report. Then he gets into creation and he says this, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So none of us 6,000 or however many years ago that the earth was created, none of us actually were there. But how do we believe it? Because God said it. That's how. You see, faith is allowing the eye of your mind to believe what the eye of your body cannot see. And that's what faith is. I want to be able to explain it to you here just a little bit more clear. James, would you be able to help me for just a few minutes? James has no idea I'm asking him this, but James is my friend. And so come on up here, James. And give James a round of applause. He has no idea what he's getting himself into. Thanks, James. I appreciate your generosity here. Hey, I want to do something here. I'm going to take this tie off, if I can get it off here. And I want you to just put this over your eyes. All right? So tie it behind your back. This is a magic trick here. Not really. So put that over your eyes. Just tie it. Just tie it so you can't see. Step out a little bit once you get there. You go. All right, good. So I'm going to explain to you. I want you to see what faith is. Can you see it all?
I can't.
You can't. Oh, good, good. You passed the test. You passed the test. Good job. All right, so what I want you to do is I'm going to scoot you over here. Do you trust me? I should have asked you this before. Do you trust me?
I think so.
You think so? I don't know if that's a good... I'm glad I at least got the blindfold on you. How long have we known each other? What, about maybe a month?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You know where I'm standing at. You sure you can't see? All right. Okay. Scoot over here. I'll scoot you over here. What I want you to do is stand right here. Now I'm going to put a chair right behind you. And all I want you to do is to sit down. Okay. That's all I want you to do. Was there a seat there? Okay. Go ahead and stand up. Do you still trust me?
I do.
You do. Okay. All right. I'm going to, I want you to sit down still. And I want you to sit down still. And do you trust me? You do. Okay. All right. I was just making sure. All right. Go ahead and sit down for me. Good. You're like, whoo! It's there. All right. Go ahead and stand up for me one last time. Stand up for me. And this time what I want you to do is I want you to take a step to your right. I want you to take a step up. I want you to take another step to your right. One step back. And I want you to sit down right there. Oh, you heard it. Go ahead and sit down. Well, there you, you almost missed it too. All right, go ahead and stand up one last time. Actually, one last time. And we're going to see how well you do this time, all right? All right. All right, so what I want you to do is I want you to face me. Face me. I'm over here to your right. There you go. Take one step back. All right. Take a step to your left. One more step to your left. Turn to your left. So, yeah, there you go. And then take one step to the left. One kind of. Take maybe a little half a step up, yep, and then scoot back, take one step back, and then sit down. Oh, all right, good job. All right, stand up for me, give him a round of applause, you can take this off. Good job, man, thanks a lot, I appreciate your help. Thanks, man. All right, so let me ask you a real quick question. Was it difficult, James, was it difficult at first to trust me? A little bit. Did it get easier as you went on?
It did.
Even though we had no idea where the chair was, that trust began to grow. And what our faith with God many times is just like this illustration. We have no idea. We don't know what God's going to do. But what it is, it's a trust. It's a faith. And many times we think, oh, God, please don't let me down. Please don't let me down. It was funny. The first time he sat down, he's like, ooh. You could see him almost like, is it there? Ah, and it was kind of crazy. But the other times that he did it, it wasn't that bad. And what God expects us to have is just faith like this. You've seen kids, whenever they sit down, they'll sit down in a chair and someone yanks that chair out from under them. And the person that does it is like, ha, ha, ha. But the next time they sit down, it's they're kind of holding on to the chair. Why? Because their faith has been tested and yet it's failed. I want to ask you this. I don't want you to answer out loud, but has your faith with God ever been tested? God never fails us. But many times what we do is God wants us to trust Him more. And as we look at this, as we think about this illustration, I want to give you some decisions in life that are faith-based, some faith-based decisions. The first one is accepting Christ. Accepting Christ is a faith decision. You see, as we trust Christ, what I'm doing is God says, for whosoever shall call upon me or call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. None of us have entered into eternity before, but what we do is we're trusting God based upon what He said. And as we do that, it's by faith. But many times what we do is we question ourselves. Does this place really exist? Really? I can remember as a 17-year-old boy, I went and I had the flu. I was dehydrated and I had a bladder infection. I was 17 years old. I grew up in a Christian home. But as I was driving to the hospital, I asked my dad this, "Dad, can you share with me how I can know for sure I'm going to heaven just one last time? Just in case this is the last time we go anywhere, Dad, can you show me what to do?" And you know why? Because my faith was tested. And our faith oftentimes, if we're not careful, our emotions will gauge what is fact and what is not fact. So salvation, accepting Christ, is the faith thing. Letter B is getting married. Getting married is really a faith thing. Am I marrying the right person? I mean, this isn't a good question to ask after you get married. It's and outside of salvation, it's one of the most important questions that you could ask. And it's not like, oh, I didn't like this car, I can give it back. No, you don't do that with marriage. And so getting married. In fact, whenever I married Charity, this is funny. Whenever I married Charity, I knew she was the one. I just knew. And I knew she was. And up to about a week before we were married, about a week till we were married, she said, "Are you sure? Are you sure we're supposed to be?" "Yes, I'm sure we're supposed to be married." And it's funny because when we were at, the reason I married her is different than the reason she married me. I mean, I married Charity because, I mean, I just thought there isn't any better. But the reason why she married me, and I found out this later, is she says, "You know the reason I married you? Why did you marry me?" I thought she had some biblical, you know, "Because you're a godly man." I thought she was going to say something like, "You're a man of prayer." She said this. She said, "You know why I married you?" I said, "Why did you marry me?" "I married you for your good looks." I couldn't believe that's why she married me. But she said, "I married you for a good looks." The other day we were in a restaurant and someone said, "Man, you have good looking kids." My wife looked over and reminded me, "That's why I married you." And spiritual reasons here. And it's a faith thing. And we see accepting Christ. We see getting married. Parenting is a faith thing. Many times you think, "Are my kids going to turn out well? What's going to happen with these kids? Are these kids going to make?" You just ask yourself over and over. I think this often. Are my kids going to do what's right? And really, that's all I want for my kids. Next thing is giving. It's a faith thing. Giving is a faith thing. Really, does this happen? If I give, will God give back to me? That's the question that goes through your mind. You know why? Because if Satan can cause you to doubt what God says, oftentimes we won't do it. So we see giving. We will notice in letter E is prayer. Prayer. Does He really hear me if I pray? Is He really going to answer me whenever I ask Him something? I think the whole idea of prayer is, I think it's very different. I do think it is a little different. I mean, what I do, I'm standing and I'm talking to really no one around me, but I'm talking to God. If I would see someone that was on the side of the street and I saw them doing that, I thought they might be a little off. Seriously, wouldn't you think so? And you've seen people that have been like that. But God says, whenever you pray, say. Whenever you pray, say. God wants me to talk to him. But that's faith. I'm believing what God says and I'm doing it. So we see faith. We see prayer. We see maybe it's accepting a new job. How can I be certain this is where God would have me to be? And then living for God and not the flesh. Letter G, living for God and not the flesh. Now, all of these are decisions that are faith-based. A lot of these are just factual things that I've given to you. We're going to get in kind of to the application in this next step. So as I'm faithing forward, and the idea is as I'm moving forward by faith, as I'm moving forward in my life by faith, there are some decisions that I have to make. You see, those decisions are the decisions that I have to make for myself. God's not going to make me make those decisions, but he's going to help me if I choose fit. But there are some procedures. We see number two, the procedures of living and faithing forward. Now, notice with me in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, we understand how faith works. Faith is doing many times what we can't see with our eyes, but we imagine with our mind. This is what God says is going to happen, so this is what I'm going to do. So if you notice with me in verse 23, I need your help. So I need you to pay attention through this, and I'm going to ask for some specific things. Things that Moses is our guy here that we're going to talk about as we include sacrifice. So the procedure of faith many times will include sacrifice. So there's four things that it will include. Sacrifice is one of them. We'll see adaptability as another. We'll see obedience, and then seeing faith led is the fourth thing about the procedures. So as a procedure, it includes sacrifice. There are some things in my life that I will do without. I will give away. I will hinder or limit so that way I can live by faith. Makes sense, right? Let's look at your passage here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. The Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Verse 27 says this, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. As we think about Moses, his parents, they lived a life of faith. In fact, Amram and Jochebed, in fact, Moses, there was no other child who was born near Moses, because Moses was the only Israelite who was saved that we know of. And the reason being is because his dad and his mom feared God rather than man. And so the Bible says that he was a goodly child and they spared him. So they didn't kill him like the king said to do. That's by faith, isn't it? Wow. They could have lost their lives, but they chose by faith to keep this child. The Bible says, and you know this story, they made this little ark of bulrushes, this little basket. And the Bible says they daubed it with slime. They put slime inside to keep it afloat. And they stuck it in. And the Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter found this basket. Now, as Moses grew up, he had some great things. He was a prince. He lived with the Egyptians and he had whatever he wanted to have. I mean, if anyone went from pauper to prince, it was Moses. But Moses, as he came of age, the Bible says that he did away from oneself. He, in verse 24, it says, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That is, he denied oneself, or he denied someone for the sake of something else. Now, I want to ask you this. What are some things, as I read this portion of scripture, I want to ask you tonight, what are some things that Moses did away with to be able to be aligned with the children of Israel. What are some things that he did away with? Comfort. Isn't that so true? He had the life of ease. He really lived like a king, and really in accordance with his other companions, his other relatives. Moses had it great, but yet he gave that up. Was it because that Israelites had Taco Tuesday? No, it wasn't that at all. But he did that by faith. What else did he do away with? Go ahead. What is it?
Freedom.
That's a really good one. I didn't even think of that one. But he did away with freedom to now really become in bondage with those children of Israel. In fact, he left and fled. He fled the king. Great. He chose freedom, or he went chose left freedom to choose the life of really running away from the king. What else?
Prestige.
Yeah, he was elite. In fact, he had money. He had fame. But yet the Bible says in this passage here, he says, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Whenever people thought of Christ, the Egyptians, it wasn't something that was, oh, Christ. It was, oh, Christ. It wasn't something that was good. It says, notice this, though, how it's read. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Man, that's really good. You see, the Egyptians had so much wealth, had so much power to the Hebrews. But the Bible says that Moses saw the children of Israel, and he would much rather be afflicted by the Egyptians. It was greater pleasure to him than having money. Don't many times we look at the losses of our life? As we look at those losses in our life, we look at those losses far better than we do the gains. Many times I know of a gentleman that he took a pay cut from his job, and he was known in his company, but he took a pay cut to be able to spend more time with his family. And by nature in the world, you're like, why would you do that? That doesn't make sense. You know what he's done? He's esteemed the riches. What the world would say, you know what, you're foolish. He thinks, no, this is wise. This is my kids are rich. I'm rich because of my kids. And that's what Moses did. He said, you know what, I'd rather suffer with God's people than to be with Egypt. This is more valuable to me. I want to ask you tonight, what do you consider valuable? Do you consider the fame of this world? Do you consider getting that next promotion? Do you think about, oh, if you were this person, if you won that Monopoly from Albertsons and Vons, things would be so much better for you in your life. I threw mine away last week. And but we think we can get sidetracked so much how that we think, oh, this would be better if this happened. Or God, if you line this way and this happened. No, God has put you in where you are now, and your life could not be any better than what it is. You have to cultivate your life through faith. So we see here that the procedure, we see here that includes sacrifice. Includes sacrifice. The Bible says, lay up for yourself treasures in, what's that next word? Heaven. Don't we focus often on the temporal? It's so easy to focus on my neighbor. He just got a brand new truck. They just got a brand new house. And it's so easy. But the Bible says, lay up not for yourselves treasures on this earth, where moth doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, and where it rusts. God says, don't do that. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So the procedures, first of all, includes sacrifice. Number two, it includes adaptability. If you would notice down to verse 31 in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, the Bible says, we notice a different character. The Bible says that by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. You see, the procedure of faith will include adaptability. Rahab, out of all the people, Out of all the people of Jericho that survived, it wasn't the king, it wasn't the prince, it wasn't the governor, it wasn't the gatekeeper. It was Rahab. And then the Bible says two words after her name, the harlot. That's who she was. In fact, in Scripture, this is so fascinating. In Scripture, when it talks about Rahab, of all the times it talks about Rahab being saved, it refers to what she did. Isn't that incredible? It says Rahab the harlot. Why would you think it says that? As I was thinking through this, why it says Rahab the harlot, I oftentimes think that the reason why it says Rahab the harlot is because there is not too much of a point that we can go low that God will not say, no, I don't want you anymore. God wants us. There may be something that you did in your past that you're just completely ashamed of. And you say, God could never forgive me for this. I don't know what it is, but I want to tell you this. There's a God who loves you and cares for you. And if you've not, if that's a hang up in your life, that you've not accepted Christ because of this thing, I want to tell you, whenever we look at Rahab the harlot, she was a harlot. She was someone that sold her body, that sold herself to gain riches. And God refers to her being saved, refers with her occupation. In fact, Jesus Christ came from the lineage of harlot, the Rahab the harlot. And as we look at Rahab, we look at her in her life, we see that there's new life in Christ, adaptability. There are some things in life that I will no longer do. In your notes, you'll see 2 Corinthians 5:14. The Bible says this, that 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, and this, by the way, it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that we should live, and not henceforth live unto themselves, but live unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know that we, no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, now, henceforth, know we him. Verse 17 says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. According to that verse, as I accept Christ, there's some things in my life that will change. I'm no longer the person that I used to be. So whenever I sin or whenever I do wrong, it's going to hurt. God's going to convict me. I'm not going to be able to get away with it like I did before. Whenever I took that thing from work, I can't get away with it. God's going to chastise me. Why? Because he loves me. So we see here that that Rahab here in this passage, the thing that separated her from everyone else in Jericho was that she believed. You see, her faith. In fact, whenever the spies told her, they said, hang this little red scarlet cord out of your window. I mean, how ludicrous, how crazy. This little thread is going to save me. But yet she does it. Why? Because she believed with her mind what she could not see. And as those walls, some speculated that her house was actually part of the walls that fell. Isn't that crazy? So whenever the walls fell, they fell all around her house, but yet her house was the only one that was saved. Why? Because of her faith. In my life, there's some things that God will chisel off of me that shouldn't be there. Maybe it's my tongue, how I speak to my wife. Maybe it's my forgiveness, and I struggle with forgiving. And yet God wants to keep me from being bitter. And so what I'm doing now is God is trying to adapt me to be more like him. And how is that done? It's done through faith. You see, there is adaptability. We noticed firstly that that includes sacrifice. Thirdly, it's obedience. Notice in verse 30, the Bible says this: by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down and they were compassed about 7 days. I think this is so crazy. There's a process, not this part, there's a process to God's obedience. What I think is crazy is that children of Israel were told to walk around the city of Jericho one time each day. I mean, how crazy. I think about James up here, and as he was sitting down for the first time, I thought, oh, he's taking it easy. He's taking it real calm. And as he's sitting down, he's making sure. I think about those people that can pass the city. And that it wasn't a block or two, but it was the size of a small city. That's what it was. So it would be walking around almost the size of Las Vegas, the greater Las Vegas area. And as they're walking around, I think about them walking around the city, and people may have been ridiculing them. People may have been mocking them. And maybe inside they were even doubting what they were doing. But I want to tell you, on day 7, whenever they walked around 7 times, I want to tell you the people who were not doubting was those people that were walking around the city whenever the walls came tumbling down. The people that were on the wall, I'm sure, thought that they wished that they were one of the children of Israel. And as you are doing in your life, as you're walking around and as you're walking around, you don't understand why God's doing this thing in your life. You don't understand why this heartache, why this trial is going on in your life. You don't understand why you just lost your job. You don't understand why you just lost your child or your husband. You don't understand why you just lost your spouse. You don't understand this. But by faith, God's trying to do a work in you. You have no idea the person that you're going to meet. As you're walking around Jericho, in your life, there may be someone there that you can comfort and say, hey, it's okay. You know what? I made it. If I can make it, I know you can too. And they may not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And God may be using your difficulty for His good. You know, there was a man in the Bible. The Bible says that he was lame and he couldn't walk. And for 38 years, he was that way. I wonder if he could have had some complaints. Probably. For 38 years, he was a lame man. And God came by his way and touched him one day. And he stood up. And the Pharisees had a field day with it. It was just horrible. And they came to him and they questioned him. They questioned his parents. And this is what Jesus said. He said, this happened. Jesus didn't make him this way, but so that God would be glorified. You know, God wants to be glorified in our life. We live in a sin-filled world. And many times we think of what the reasons why things happen to us is because of things that we've done. That's not necessarily the case. We live in a sin-filled world. We live in a world that's imperfect. And we have to understand that through all these difficulties, God is trying to strengthen your relationship with Him. But He wants His name to be exalted. Will you allow that difficulty in your life, how difficult it may be, to exalt the name of Christ? You see, there's obedience. I can imagine those people as they walked around it. Day 2 was easier than the first. Day 3 and 4, it was no big deal. Day 5, it's easier. You know, the easier that James, or that it was easier from his mouth, it was easier. Though he couldn't even fill the chair, it was easier. His faith, or his, let's say this, his trust in me was easier to sit down because he had accomplished it once. And the thing with Jesus is, the longer and the more that you have your faith in Jesus Christ, your walk with the Lord will be easier and easier. We see it through obedience. Lastly, under this point of procedures, it's faith-led. It's faith-led. Look at verses 32 down to verses 34. The Bible says this whole chapter deals with faith. It deals with people, and it deals with this whole chapter is termed. In fact, some people have termed this the hall of faith. It deals with, we see Moses. He was a man of faith. We see Rahab, faith. We see Joshua and the children of Israel. It's about faith. As we notice these people here in this next few verses, many times it doesn't give them a whole verse. It doesn't give them a whole chapter or even 6 verses. But many times it's just their name. I want you to see this. Verses 32 to 34, the Bible says, and what shall I say more? You need more? You need me to tell you about faith some more? Okay, here it is. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. I could tell you about Gideon all day long, but all you need to know is Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, They quenched violence of fear, escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. This isn't people like this isn't sci-fi, but they were able to. It's talking about strangers in different countries. And so as they did some great things, isn't it so easy to look back on them and say, oh, they had it easy. It was Moses. I mean, come on. It was like God spoke to him through the fire. And it's like, whoa, you know, the place where you're standing is holy ground. And we think like these people were just superstars. You know what? They're just people just like us. They're just ordinary people who wanted to be used of God. And God used them. Why? Because they have faith. Not just had faith, but they did what God said. They obeyed. They sacrificed. And as they were led of faith, the Bible says that the steps of a good man or the steps of a good woman are led or directed of God. As I allow God to move my steps, God says, just like I told James, take a left. Okay. Take another left. Okay. Sit down. Well, he could have. Yeah, I wouldn't have pulled the chair out from him, but I could have said, okay, sit down. And he sat down and there was no chair there, but I didn't want to do that. Why? Because I didn't want to hurt somebody else. And just like that, God wants to lead and guide us so that we can sit down by faith and say, okay, God, I'm here. Where do you want me here, Lord? As we see this, these people weren't perfect people, by the way. Many times we think of Samson. We think, oh, man, Samson was like huge. He was like buff. He was, he had like biceps and he had like calf seps and he had like earlobe seps. And we think of Samson and he was huge. But as Samson, didn't Samson blow it? But he's in the hall of faith. Isn't that incredible that Samson's here? The Bible says that he killed more people in his death than he did while he was alive. But he was a man of faith. That's interesting. We see here that Gideon, a man of faith, Barak, not much said about Barak and Deborah. Deborah's not even mentioned in here. But we see Barak as, you know why? Because he was a man of faith. So we see the decisions. We see the procedures. Let's notice tonight, lastly, the rewards. As we see the rewards, you'll notice with me in look at verses 13 and 39. If you flip back, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, the Bible says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And in verse 39, if you'll turn the page to verse 39, the Bible says, and these all, talking about in this passage, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now, as I was studying this out, the Bible says in these two passages, talks about the promise. So we have all these people in this passage, they've not received the promise. So the natural question is, what's the promise? All of these people are from which part of the Testaments? Old Testaments. This is interesting. This is the first part of it. As they're part of the Old Testament, who had not yet come to pay for their sins? Jesus. That's the promise. So they did what they were told by faith. They had not seen yet Jesus Christ died, buried, rose again. That's whenever verse 13 says that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They knew that Jesus was going to come one day, but they've not seen it happen. God said they had faith. And then the Bible says in verse 39, they, all of these having retained a good port through faith, received not the promises. So as these people were looking forward, they knew that Jesus was going to come, but he hadn't come yet. We look back and we say, oh, Jesus came and he was died, was buried and rose again. As we think about these people, we think, oh, these people had it so good. No, I think the people that have it good are the people that are sitting in this auditorium. You know why? Because though we haven't seen the promise with our eyes, we have the promise. And the cool thing about these, what we have as opposed to the children of Israel, the children of Israel did not have it as good as we have it. Let me tell you why. Because whenever Jesus left, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God comes inside and resides with us. The children of Israel, people in the Old Testament, Samson, Barak, all these people, they didn't have the Holy Spirit to reside in them. You know, the people that really have it good is us. You say, how is that? Because God's given us the promise. So with our different questions, we had different questions about marriage. You say, my marriage isn't the way, my marriage could have so much work. You know what you need to do? You need to work on your marriage by faith. You know who can help you on your marriage by faith? Don't look up at me. This guy can right here. God can. And God wants to use his word to help your marriage. God wants you to, God wants his book. Use this book to help you in your life, to help you with parenting. You see, the Bible says this in Proverbs 22:6. I'm going to give you several verses. You can jot these verses down. I don't think they're in your notes, but Proverbs 22:6 in parenting. You want to be a good parent? The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So the idea with that passage is, you, God has given by faith, there is a promise there. So if I am guiding my child, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. So if I want my child to go to that door, I'm not going to lead him over here. I'm not going to sit him down in that seat. If I want my child to go to that door, I'm going to lead him to that door. And as a parent, what I should do, where I want my child to be, is what I will train my child to do. But if you are not training your child, this promise is not to you. If you're not doing what God says to do, your child is not going to go the way that he should go according to you or God. You see, it's not something that happens by mistake, especially in a world that's filled with corruptness and immorality and people, the world wanting your children to fail spiritually. It'll only happen by applying God's word and putting God's word into their life. Training up a child. You want your marital status to be the way that you want it to be? You'll invest in your marriage. The Bible says this in Colossians 3, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. The way that you, husband, will have the marriage that you want is not being bitter towards your wife. It's by loving your wife. The way, wife, that you want your marriage, you say, well, my wife isn't submitting to me. It doesn't matter what your wife's doing. It matters what you're doing. So if you want your wife to be the godly woman that she should be, you be the godly man that you should be. And the Bible says, for wives, submit to your husband. That is to place yourself, align yourself under the authority of your husband. And so if you want your marriage to be the way that it should, do what God says to do, giving to others. If you'll notice in the context in Luke chapter 6, the Bible talks about, in this passage, talks specifically about your enemies. I want you to hear what it says. Familiar verse, we've read it before. The Bible says this, give and it shall be given unto who? You. You've heard the verse. Press down. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So this passage is not talking about the person that you're good friends with. The Bible says earlier in this passage, the Bible says, love them that persecute you. So in context, it's talking about the person who at work speaks evil of you. It's talking about the person that lives beside you, that can't stand you because your grass grows over their yard. And maybe their grass grows into your yard. And what it says is, it says, be nice to them. Give to them. So it may mean pulling a few weeds. It may be buying a gift card and giving it to your neighbor. It may be just being thoughtful to them. You see, the Bible says give. If you're giving to your enemies, the Bible says this in Proverbs, that it will heap coals upon their head. That's not like God's going to be like, here, take this and throw like, you know, a couple charcoal blocks at their head. That's not what it's doing, but it's comforting to them. And the Bible says God will bless you if you bless your enemies. So all of these things that we've listed accepting Christ, it comes through faith. We talked about getting married through faith, parenting, faith, giving, faith, prayer, faith, accepting that new job. What do I do? If it comes down to it where you don't know what to do, it's always good to seek someone, a counselor, maybe pastor, and asking him, what should I do in this situation? What should I do? I don't exactly know what to do. I can tell you a time in my life that I really had to live by faith. As an 11-year-old boy, actually as a 9-year-old boy, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I knew for sure I was on my way to heaven. As an 11-year-old boy, I gave my life to Christ completely, whatever the Lord wanted me to do. And I gave my life to the Lord. I completely surrendered to the Lord. And I said, God, whatever you want me to do with my life is what I'm willing to do. As I grew up, as I grew up, 4 or 5 years later, as I was in high school, my teacher said, Neil, what do you want to do with your life? I said, I really don't know. I knew what God wanted me to do. He wanted me to be in the ministry. And I said, I really don't know. He said, why don't you consider being a fireman? He said, they make $30,000 to $32,000 starting off. And for me, it was like $1 million. It was like, wow, that's a lot of money. And the way that everything was is a couple years after that, I could get promoted to being a fireman to a lieutenant, which is within about a couple years, and they make about $60,000 to $80,000. And that was very appealing to me. I went through all the training, and God really, really spoke to my heart. I was miserable. I knew that isn't what God would have me to do. And God was speaking to me to say, Neil, this is not what I have you to do. And God was, I just was miserable. That's the best way to explain it. And it came down to a decision. I had my final test for EMT. That was the last test that I could do to apply to be a fireman. And I had to make a decision. Was I going to do that? Or was I going to live for God? For 9 months, I had been doing what I thought was what I wanted to do. And it came down to that decision. I went away for a week to a camp. It was a teen camp. And there was a message that really spoke to my heart. It was about going to Bible college for a year. And God really dealt with me. No one else, the pastor, it could have been like he was speaking my name. He knew exactly what my heart needed to hear that night. And as if God was sitting right beside me, and I knew that message was for me. And I said, God, after that message, I said, I'm not going to take that test. That test was the next week. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to take that. By faith, I said, you know what, God? If this is what you want me to do, I'm not going to allow this smoke screen to even be an issue. But I'm going to go this route by faith. Tonight, you may be at that crossroad. There may be a decision that you have to make, and you're like, I don't know what I have to do. This is, I think, where God may be leading me by faith. But this is just so appealing. By faith tonight, God's saying, you know what? You need to live by faith. Your mind is seeing this and you're adding up the numbers here. And I don't want you to do that, God says. He says, I want you to live by faith. And what is it that tonight that God would have you to do? Maybe it's tonight accepting the Lord as your Savior. Maybe tonight is saying, I want to be the parent that God would have me to be. Maybe tonight it would be saying, I want to be the spouse that God would have me to be. Maybe it's the neighbor or the coworker, or maybe it's the friend that God would have you to be. But for every one of us tonight, we have a decision to live by faith. And I pray that tonight that we will do exactly what God would have us to do. And that's by faithing forward. You see, as we're walking forward, the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And God tonight wants us to live by faith. Though we see something with our eyes, He wants us to see things with our mind, our heart. And that's through God's Word. I pray that God's Word has spoken to you tonight. Over the past few weeks, God has spoken through me and how we all should live by faith. God, I pray that you would help us tonight to be men and women of faith. God, I pray that you would help us to faith forward, to move forward by faith. God, living a life that's pleasing to you. I pray, God, that you would, as you've spoken to me, God, I pray that you would, I know that your Holy Spirit is working already. And God, I pray that you would help us to make the decisions that you would have us to make. God, I'm so thankful for your word. And God, I pray that you would help us to live men, women, husbands, wives, and co-workers of faith. Lord, help us to live for you, no matter what the cost. Lord, help us to lay up treasures in heaven. I ask this according to your will. With your head still bowed and eyes closed, I want to just ask you a few questions tonight. Tonight you came and you can see how that your life has not been faith-filled. It's not been walking by faith. And tonight you'd say, Pastor Neil, I need to walk by faith. God's spoken to me, and I need to be a person who is walking by faith in my life. Whatever God says to do, I'm willing to do. How many of you would say that by just an upraised hand? Thank you for your honesty. I'll pray for you. You can put your hands down. How many of you tonight, as you came, God spoke to you specifically? Maybe it's a parent, being a parent. Maybe it's and you want to make a commitment tonight about being the parent or the husband or the wife or the co-worker that God would have you to be. And tonight you say, I'm going to make that commitment. I'm going to make a decision to be the individual that God would have me to be. And I need your prayer. Pastor Neil, could you pray for me? And just by a raised hand, you would say, please pray for me. I'll pray for you. You can lower your hands. The last question I want to ask you tonight is this. You came tonight, you have no idea you're going to heaven. Maybe you think that God couldn't even save you. Friend, he can. If he saved Rahab, he can save you. And tonight you say, Pastor Neil, I have no idea I'm going to heaven. I would like to know I'm going to heaven, but I have no idea. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I would like to pray for you. And if that's you, by an upraised hand, I don't know for sure. Just simply raise your hand. I do not know for sure that heaven is my home, but I would like to. Good. I don't know, but I would like to. I'll pray for you as well. Let's go ahead and stand, and I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray for you. As soon as I finish praying, the invitation will start, and that's what we want to invite you to make those decisions. So whether it's at your seat or whether it's at an altar, God has spoken to you and it's your choice to make that decision with God. I'm going to pray for you. As soon as I finish praying, we will begin the invitation. Dear Lord, I pray, God, that you would use this invitation to work. Help us to be people of faith. Lord, our world needs people that are of Christians that are faith-filled people. Lord, I pray that our lives would reflect that of being faith-filled by faithing and facing towards you. God, I pray that our lives would emulate you. I ask this according to your will, Lord. Bless those, Lord, who say, give me courage. Help me to be the man, the woman of God that you'd have me to be. Those that raise their hand, I don't know for sure I'm saved. God, I pray that you would work through this invitation. And I pray, God, that you would speak and that you would move. I ask this according to your will. In Jesus' name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless you.